Hello everybody, welcome to Busta. Thank you for joining me. This is How, your occupational therapist. And welcome to Occupational Therapy Conversations. In this episode of OT Conversations, this is going to be a very controversial one. Because I'm going to be having a discussion that not a lot of people may want. But equally, this is targeted to occupational therapists. And I'm hoping that this gives you an inspiration about the things that you do, about how important your profession is, our profession is, as an occupational therapist. I have been thinking about this for days, and I was thinking, is there a case that we can call occupational therapy to be a grandfather or a forerunner of modern therapeutic disciplines? Nowadays, we always say that there is not enough time. It's so busy, we don't have enough time. And I can almost see that some of my friends, Maria, for example, she attends MDT meeting, and she finds it that her role is being chopped up by other professionals and all the other things and all the other responsibilities that occupational therapists are traditionally doing. All the other fields and all the other professions are taking, like a play therapy, for example, or a music therapy, for example, art therapy. There is obviously now a cooking therapy, horticultural therapy. All of these things are considered occupation. And from an occupational therapy, it can branch into so many things. So I thought, maybe, just maybe, we are the grandfather of all these therapies. But we're failing to remember that. So like I said, there is likely a strong case. And a strong case can be made that we are the grandfather or the forerunners of modern therapeutic disciplines. And this is especially evident when you look at some of the origins of what we do, the scope of our practice, the philosophy of occupational therapy, and all of these origin, scope, philosophies, I feel that this has deeply influenced the development of various therapies that has emerged at a later date. Let's have a discussion and let's have a conversation about some of these justifications, particularly in the historical perspective, the philosophical perspective, and we can even look at some of the practical dimensions of it. So when it comes to historical justification that we are a grandfather therapy, OT is one of the earliest rehabilitative disciplines out there. I believe it's around 1915, 1917, when occupational therapy emerged. And this year, so OT emerged before the formal recognition of many therapy professions, particularly in North America. Physical therapy, for example, they often were formally recognized around the 20s in the United States. Although in the United Kingdom, I think it is a lot older, but it started out as a massage therapy rather than physio or physical therapy. But formally in the North America, physical therapy, it's around the 20s when that emerged. Speech and language therapy developed more formally around the 30s and the 50s. So OT is older. That's 1917. Art therapy, music therapy, recreational therapy. These were formally organized as a profession only in the mid to the late 20th century. Know that during the First World War and the Second World War, occupational therapists were among the first responders to the rehabilitative needs of our soldiers. And how do we do that? We provided holistic care. We provided physical, psychological, social support. This is long before the emergence of today's more specialized therapy professions. So that's some, just a touch on a historical justification. What about the philosophical justification? OT's holistic roots actually inspired other disciplines. Occupational therapy is rooted in moral treatment and humanism, which prioritize the use of purposeful activities and engagement in meaningful occupation as a path to health and well-being. This occupation as therapy concept predates and lays a foundation for art therapy, music therapy, recreational therapy, all of which use creative occupation as a therapeutic tools. So long before art therapy came about, formalization of music therapy and recreational therapy, we're already there. We are already using creative occupation as a therapeutic modality. Vocational rehabilitation, functional rehabilitation. These all align with OT's original mission to restore the independence and the function of an individual. The emphasis on the mind-body-environment connection in occupational therapy inspired many psychological and somatic approaches used across therapies. You see, those are some of the philosophical justification. What about the multidisciplinary scope, where occupational therapy bridged the physical, the mental, and the social health early on? OT addressed both mental health and we addressed the physical rehabilitation from its inception. At the very beginning, we were never a physical dysfunction. We were never a mental health dysfunction. It's always been that it is already holistic. So our ability and what we did when we addressed the mental health and physical dysfunction, this is a scope that is unmatched by many newer and more specialized therapies. As such, OT concepts then evolved into cognitive behavioral approach in mental health. It evolved into sensory motor integration theories in pediatric therapy and NDTs. Activity analysis, for example, it informs ergonomics, it informs behavioral science, and even education. The fourth justification is we're tool maker of therapy. OT's foundational tools were adopted by others. They probably just don't want to acknowledge that. How? Activity grading, for example. We've already conceptualized that from the very beginning. Adaptive techniques, environmental modification, these all originated in OT, and these are now integral to physical therapy and rehabilitation and nursing approaches. These are now being used in speech therapies, use of adaptive communication and adaptive communication strategies. These are all compensatory strategies, and this has long been the tools of the trade. Technically, all these modified or communication aids, these are all adaptive devices. Psychology's adoption of the behavioral activation, for example, it parallels the occupation-based engagement. The fifth justification is the training and influence as a conceptual ancestor. So many interdisciplinary rehabilitation models, for example, like the biopsychosocial model, the ICF, the person, environment, occupation, these all carry strong OT fingerprints. In fact, it was very funny and interesting, and it almost made my eyebrow rise. Yeah, I've spoken to a physiotherapy student, and I was asking, do you use any models in your trade, in your practice? As a physical therapist, I would always assume that it should be physical model. It should be a neurodevelopmental model, restorative model, because it is by nature a restorative profession. And the physio student said to me that they're using a biopsychosocial approach. See? Nothing beyond the skin is physiology. I always say that. So if you look at the psychosocial model, then that should be the boundary, you know, that beyond the skin is no longer a physical rehab. Yeah, it becomes a social rehab, and therefore it's no longer physiology. It shouldn't be physiotherapy. But again, like I said, I'm not going to be popular in this conversation. This is my perspective. I feel I am a lone person talking about this, and it really is a very uncomfortable discussion. But hey, this is an area where we can put on perspectives and opinion, and it is our platform. Yeah. So OT's early educational frameworks trained or inspired professionals who went on to create separate therapies or disciplines, for example. OT's focus on occupation directly influenced ergotherapy in Europe, yeah? Or activity therapy in mental health settings. The rehabilitative model used across a multidisciplinary team today is a compensatory strategy. If you cannot restore it, a rehabilitative model means that if you cannot restore it, you'll have to find out other means and how the person can do it. And you do that through compensation, through adaptation. That is the source of rehabilitative model. And when you see some therapies happening in clinics nowadays, whether it's in hospital or in rehab facilities, everybody's going straight to adaptation, which is not right. Because other professionals are abandoning the nature of what they do, which is restorative. We are the last resort. If nobody else can do it and the person still needed to do it, then we still have to get the person doing what they need to do. So in conclusion, guys, occupational therapy maybe, and I feel, can be justifiably called the grandfather of many modern therapies, because it preceded other professionals historically. That's the one. Yeah, it's an old one. It introduced foundational, holistic, functional, and occupation-based principles that others have been adopting. It provided the conceptual, the practical, and the educational bedrock for numerous therapy branches, and it has embraced a wide scope that others later specialized from. So OT is not just a profession in its own right, guys. We are a trailblazer, but we are forgetting that we are. And so the profession is dwindling. The quality of the therapists are getting, the quality is getting less and less. And that's why we are making an effort to wake people up, to strive and do more, keep it alive, and not hide behind this phrase, oh, we don't have any time. Nobody ever has the time. Okay. There you go, guys. This is a reflection involving occupational therapy. It is an uncomfortable conversation. If you think there are merits to what I'm saying, talk to your friends about it. Learn together, grow together. Just remember, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye.